Are you ready to turn right?
Yeah.
This lawsuit, rock on, wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
What's up, Kiss Army?
Mr. Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
I want to tell you, I got texts all week. Cicada, staccata, sciatica, quesadilla. Like, I got all these weird texts this week.
Yeah, it's my bad.
And get it right, you son of a bitch. Get it right.
Okay, let's see. Here's the. It's not Joey Cuss. Okay, wait. Oh, it's not shit. Joey Quesada, which is what I said, because I was thinking of the singer, I guess. It's okay. Look, it's Joey fucking Cicada. That's your name from now on.
I am so disappointed in you.
I'm sorry.
Is there any way to get rid of Joe and I take Joe's spot and we can just get rid of Joe? We can start fresh?
The show will just be 100% better.
Get it right, you son of a bitch. Joey Quesada. It's like the cake, the Sicilian beautiful cake.
A quesada is a cake?
Yes, quesada cake, of course.
Oh, wow, I never knew that. My last name just happens to be a game and a shirt. What's a poony?
I don't know. Everybody said poontang, so I just kind of went with that.
Yeah, I was going to say that a poony sounds like, you know, come on.
And I don't even know Jody's real last name. So I don't know if it's really have not or if it isn't have not or if it is what it doesn't matter. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to Podcast Rock City. Obviously, we have Joey Quesada with us today, and he's going to be with us on the last show of every month. So make sure you tune in, and we're letting him pick the topics every week. I want to make sure that before we get into the show, if you haven't read Joey's book, go online, pick up the book. Tell them where they could get it, Joey.
You can get it anywhere books are sold, but the best place to get it is Amazon. Amazon ships super fast. You can get the hard copy on Amazon. You can get the Kindle on Amazon and even the audio book that just came out on Amazon.
And what's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Start With a Dream, a Drummer's Journey from Rock and Roll to TV to Broadway.
All right.
And the forward of the book is done by Peter Chris. I'm sure you guys know that.
Yeah.
And the forward from the audiobook is done by our good friend Chris Jericho.
Your good friend Chris Jericho.
Well, if you hear the forward, he's not, obviously not my good friend. That son of a bitch basically bashes me for 5 minutes.
It does. And you sent it to me before it came out and I really enjoyed it. It made me giggle. All right. So, you guys, now we got that out of the way, let's get right to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
Hey, have you read the news? All right. I always say this every week, especially now that the band isn't touring. There really isn't a whole lot of news. However, Paul Stanley surprised everybody and I guess came out of hiding and did a video and talked a little about how he wrote Love Gun and how he recorded Love Gun. And he did this yesterday. He released a video 2 days ago saying, hey, I'm going a little bonkers. I'm going to do a video. And it was about 12 minutes long, right, guys?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and it was kind of cool. I've always heard the story of Love Gun, but it sounds like it felt like he went way more in depth.
Definitely more than that old teaching demo where he's like, eat rider. So that was cool.
Yeah. He went into like where he came up with the idea, how he came up with the idea. That was pretty cool. Like he was in the park and he saw a band play.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it's great that he's just doing stuff like this. I think all entertainers, musicians, actors, they should be doing this nonstop. I mean, everyone is obviously cooped up in their homes just like we are, and people need entertainment. And Paul could have talked about flushing the toilet and we would have all tuned in to watch it because it would have been fun. So they should just keep pumping out content. It doesn't matter how goofy they look or how good the content is, just pump out content. We're starving for things to do.
Sonny, what do you think that the that Kiss should be I mean, look, here's the thing. I'm not telling them what to do. Nobody, like, I had a post online where somebody was saying Kiss needs to blah 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 and this and that, and it was just like, really, dude? It's like, this is a trying time for for even them. But do you think that it would be possible for them to, or do you think that it would be smart for, you know, Gene to, you know, put out a video and say, hey, this is what I'm doing, you know, this is how I'm staying safe, or this is what my day is, or give a tour of his room, you know, his Kiss room, each, you know, here, take a look, you know, we've seen it before, we've never had an opportunity to you know, really get. I know this is a long question, go ahead, Mr. Protang.
All right, so first of all, Gene's surprising me the most, because normally in these times, these types of times, Gene loves attention, and he's like underground almost, right? So that's a little weird. I think there's bands, especially somebody like Kiss, that can, hey, you know, Tommy, send me a guitar riff. Eric, put some drums on it. I'll sync it in Audacity. I'll put some vocals to it. Guys, you got a demo. You know, that kind of stuff that just would keep people interested, I guess. But this thing Paul's doing is cool. The thing Jericho did last night was cool. So at least people are making the most of it.
Yeah. And, you know, tonight they're on Fox, they have a concert, or like Elton John is playing some stuff from home. Billie Eilish, whoever that dude is, he's doing some stuff. And then who else? Somebody else. It's all going to be live, apparently.
Yeah, a bunch of artists I don't care about. That's why I'm not watching. I think isn't Billie Eilish a girl? I don't think it's a guy.
Billie Eilish is a girl. I said Billie because I always put Billy with a guy's name. That's why. But I'm not going to lie. I like Billie Eilish, so.
But I'll tell you, like, this band that I'm really into lately called Eclipse from Sweden, they're doing a streaming event at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on Wednesday, and they're charging like €8 and basically doing like this pay preview stream event from Sweden.
And they're charging money to see it.
So this could be, because one of the things now think about is the aftermath, right? So even though we don't think about it much right now, before 9/11, I could just hand you my flight ticket and you could use it to go wherever you wanted. All that crap ended. I could take 5 ounces of shampoo on the plane. All that shit ended. So that means at some point when this all ends, there'll be a new normal. And new normal might be, hey, we're only playing in these places and we're streaming to these places.
Dude, that's a great, great point, which I really haven't even thought about. You're so right. I think, you know, everyone's waiting for everything to go back to normal. I don't think it's going to go back to normal. I think, like you just said, I think there's going to be new normals that have to take place. Everything is going to be different moving forward, not only because everyone's going to be safer and who knows if this virus is ever going to go away or progress or get worse or get better. At the very least, I think people are realizing, okay, I can do stuff from home. I can live stream. I can do this. I can Facebook Live. I can Skype. I can talk to my friends via Zoom. I can hold meetings and do lessons. And everyone is figuring out ways to do things even more through the internet than ever before. So I think you're right. I think things are never going to be exactly how they were before all this kicked off. You're right.
Yeah. What do you think, Jody?
I pretty much feel exactly the same way that you guys do. But I have noticed, like, you know, my other show, we have a group on Facebook, and we've had like multiple bands do shows in our group just because everybody's bored and wanting entertainment, you know? So we've been trying to really step up our content. We've been doing these auctions where we bought a bunch of some of our favorite Italian bands' records, and we've been doing this trivia, and people have been winning those. So I think any little thing, even on a small scale like that, anything you can do, I think is good in these times,
right?
Because people are bored out of their minds. You know what I mean? They're like starved for entertainment. So
yeah, in our site, in our group page, I opened up a box of music trading cards. I know I don't think you guys saw that, but
I saw some of that.
I had these two boxes of trading cards that are all kinds of musicians, but there's a few Kiss in there. So I opened up pack by pack until we found Kiss, and there was about 16 people watching at one point, which I thought was really strange, you know. But, you know, it was a Madonna card and a Run DMC card and a Tone Loc card and nice. Paula Abdul. And then, you know, I wound up finding four Kiss cards in the whole box of probably 300 cards. and then I live streamed the Inner Sanctum the other night. I saw that. Yeah. About six or so people were watching that in and out, you know. But I think to do these things right, you have to let people know what's going on ahead of time so they can prepare for that kind of thing. But I agree. I think that the I'm not saying that they have to do this. I'm saying that it'd be good for them. Just like Paul realized, I'm losing it. He said, I'm losing it a little, and I want to connect with some people, although I'm sure he has no hard time with that. But, you know, it was kind of interesting to watch.
And we'll now, see. Dude, I think you're underplaying it. I think guys like Paul and Gene and these guys that live on the road and live in the spotlight, I know it's crazy to say because obviously these guys are multimillionaires living in mansions and doing whatever they want. Times like this, they're fucking flipping out because they're so used to having not only attention on them, but on the road being catered to 24/7. They're losing their minds at home right now. I'm telling you, it's it's so hard to get used to being confined in your house. I love it because I have my family, I have my kids. I'm still working. I do whatever I have to do. But a guy like Paul and guys like Paul and Gene who are out on the road their whole lives and have never known anything but, you know, being home maybe 2-3 weeks at a time, I think they're slowly going insane.
That yeah, could be I'll, true.
I'll tell you, some of this is all in your head. It's all psychological. For me too, right? Because it's like, okay, we're kind of cooped up in the house doing what we do. We don't get to go anywhere. Man, I'm bored, blah, blah. It's like, you don't normally go anywhere. So the problem is the land of the free became shelter at home. And people don't have a choice. And it's the psychology of not having a choice is what's getting them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
How much do you guys think it plays into, you know, Paul and Gene, considering that they are, you know, 70 plus or close to it, you know? They're a lot older than we are, you know? So they're more at risk, right?
I always thought Joe, you're in your upper 60s, right?
Actually, I'm in my mid 60s. It's okay.
I'm just
my liver's 75. My brain's about 12.
Yeah.
I'm trying to save a little face after you messing my name up for the last 4 weeks on the show.
Oh my god, I can't believe that. I just have to remember C before S. Anyway, it's Joey Quesada, fucker. I know what I'm doing. Okay. I even laid in the bed and said it like three times. Fucking Joey.
That's a little creepy.
That's a lot creepy.
I got Quesada. Issues, man.
Quesada.
Anyway.
He's like looking in the mirror like Candyman, hoping you'll show up.
Yeah. It's like, it wouldn't be surprising. All right. So that's pretty much it for the news. Hopefully more stuff. Paul, if he does a few more videos, we'll talk about them next week. Let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yes!
So, just like we said at the beginning, Joey is going to pick the topic when he's on the show. And we called him just so we can get a little heads up. And Joey, what did you pick?
So it's actually a perfect segue. You know, obviously you're a very professional podcaster, so that was a great segue. So I wanted to talk about how Kiss should be releasing more video footage. And you know, there's so many different platforms now. I think now, especially with everyone being confined, why aren't they releasing concerts for us? Why? And it could be pay-per-view or streaming services, whatever, but think about the footage that they have and or own that they're sitting on. And you're talking about years and years and years. What's the last real professionally done video they released. I don't even remember. What's the last thing they released?
Vegas.
Vegas. So, and that's how many years ago? Four years ago?
Six, least, right? Maybe.
6 years ago? And then before Vegas, what was before Vegas?
Probably Rock the Nation.
That's 2004.
Yeah.
When did we get the box sets though?
Which box sets?
Oh, the Kissologies.
No,
but that Kissologies were out before that, I think. I mean, yeah. You're still talking at the latest early 2000s. You know, you're talking about the probably the biggest visual band ever.
Yeah.
And they've only released, you know, back in the 80s they were releasing stuff here and there, but they've only released a handful of stuff in the last 20 years. Think about 2000 until now, or even the reunion, or after Second Coming came out until now. What has been released? Not that much. Obviously, yeah. The Kissologies were great, but,
yeah, but they could be seen releasing most of that
so much.
Before.
Yeah, they could be releasing full shows of every tour. I'm sure they have video of, you know, recording sessions throughout the years, or behind the scenes, or so much stuff. Why aren't they doing this?
Well, one of the things that we know is and now correct me if I'm wrong, but they had a lot of really good footage that a coin just kept taping over, right, Jody?
Yeah, a lot of that really old footage, like in the rehearsal space in the loft.
Yeah,
they would just like record over it over and over, which totally sucks because that's the shit I want to see more than anything.
Yeah, it would be awesome to see, you know, Grammy award-winning producer Bob Ezrin. Oh no! I fucked up his
good
name.
Good Lord,
Jesus Christ! Can we edit that at least?
Paul, edit Jesus her Christ. Out. Bob, what the fuck is his name? Bob Kulick. I'm kidding. Bob Kulick walking in and being like, "Hey," just to hear him go, "Yeah, I don't really buy the makeup." Or Ace walking in. Joey is dying.
So, dude, you're kill. I love it. It's perfect. I mean, at least you only met. I mean, me and Grammy award winning Bob Kulick. I'm in good company that you messed our names up.
And he came right back at me, didn't he? That's okay. That's all right. But yeah, I agree. I don't know. There could be a plan for something like that. It could just be something where they're like, man, we're going to hold on to this footage until we're done touring. And then we'll start to release it, because that'll be – they could release a video every 6 months of a concert, of a tour, and that we've never seen, if it's out there, and make $1 million each time they do it. Easy. And I'm just throwing $1 million out there, you know.
Yeah.
But they could release every 6 months they could release a new video of a tour with, you know, some behind the scenes footage, because you know they have it. They have to. They have I was just watching today some of all the news clips that I have on DVD, you know, through those TV collection bootlegs that came out years ago.
I was
just going to bring that up. Oh, dude, I'm looking at all my Kiss Visions DVDs right now. Just those alone, you know, I have at least one concert from every tour. Then you have all the news clips. You have all the media footage. You have, you know, multiple concerts from each tour. I have like a video DVD of all their videos, all that stuff. I mean, I know there's legality issues and there's stuff where there's a chance they don't own some of that stuff. I get that. Trust me. I'm in the business. I know all the stuff that goes behind the scenes and all that stuff. But you have to think that Kiss owns the plethora of video footage they've taken throughout the years. And even if they don't own the back catalog and there's some kind of issue with the 70s stuff, all the stuff, all the cruises, they've done 10 cruises. They've never professionally released even one of them or even a montage of them. What are they waiting for?
Right.
Yeah, the only two other things I can think of that could be it is, because I like the legacy lengthening thing that Joe was talking about, and obviously there's always the ownership piece of it, but one is it's too human. So Paul's not going to release anything that deems him human unless he gets to fix it, which that could be a problem. And the other piece might be just waiting out the money. Like, Paul's like, do we just sell it to somebody? Everything we got, take our money and run, and what they do with it is what they do with it, and if they want to fix it, they can fix it. I don't care. Or is it Gene saying, no, wait it out. Netflix will give us $50 million. But it could end up being, unfortunately, like a Prince situation where they're both gone, and now the estate is making decisions. So if they're going to make a decision, they should make the decision before that happens.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think, you know, we always think, oh, my God, these guys know what they're doing. Everyone knows what they're doing. They're waiting to strike while the iron is hot. I think sometimes it's just they overlook things. I think they're so immersed in what they're doing, whether it's the end of the road tour or, you know, whatever they're doing in their own personal lives and Paul with his art and blah, blah, whatever's happening. I think sometimes they just overlook things, and I think they're overlooking this whole media. I mean, Kiss has so much material and such a diehard fan base that I think it's not even unfathomable that they can start their own streaming network. Why wouldn't, you know, for $5.99 a month or $4.99 a month, wouldn't you guys pay that for unlimited Kiss content 24/7?
Yeah.
All day long, HD footage. They can just upload concert after concert after concert and have maybe a new talk show once a week. And they could be doing all this stuff with a full streaming service where you're talking about millions and millions in revenue, where the overhead is basically nothing because it's all streaming. They're not doing any print work. They're not doing any artwork or DVDs and you know, all that manufacturing. It's all in the clear overhead. That's what the WWE just did. They did, instead of releasing their DVDs every month, they did their own network, and it's killing. That's where all their revenue comes from.
That's
now
where all their money is now. I mean, they got, it's like $9 a month or $10 a month, and they got something like 2 million people. I mean, now, obviously, that's nothing compared to like a Netflix, but you're talking about a specific genre of entertainment. 2 million people paying $10 a month is a lot of money. And to just have it, you know, be this bank of computers that makes it available, I don't know, man. I believe a lot of people would agree. Why doesn't Kiss do something like this? One of the things that I think they missed the boat by not, they have like a website, Kiss Online, but they don't really put news out on there. I mean, they put news, but it's usually like, hey, look, this, you know, record is being re-released for the 40th anniversary, and you can get it in orange penis, you know, colored, you know, vinyl.
Right, right.
But it's never, hey, Tommy's sitting at home and he's doing this, or Gene's, you know, doing this, or
listen,
hey,
not to blow smoke up your ass, but I find better Kiss news on this podcast than I do on their official websites, because it's unfiltered. It's you guys telling the fans what the hell is happening every week in Kiss World, whereas they're, you know, either a filtered version of that, or just people slacking off and not really telling the public what we want to hear.
Right. Like, there are a lot of stories that you'll find or will find on places like Kiss Asylum that you're not going to see on Kiss Online. As a matter of fact, when I go online at first, I don't hardly ever go to Kiss Online first. I think I always go to Kiss Asylum to see what they have. They update maybe once a week, but it's usually a ton of stuff, you know, 8 to 10 stories or videos or whatever. But you're not going to get that on Kiss Online. It's, I'm not sure, you know, what their deal is. They did, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we get the video about how far along they are in this documentary from, it wasn't on Kiss Online? I didn't see it on Kiss Online, that where Tommy was talking about how they're about halfway through. I saw it on Kiss Asylum. Where did you see it, Joey?
I don't even know if I saw that. I think I read that Tommy said that. I don't think I ever actually saw the video. Again, it's funny that you even say Kiss Online. Obviously, I'm online all day long, social media, and that's, you know, how I promote my work and all that stuff, but I'm very rarely on Kiss Online. And that just shows you how irrelevant it almost is. It's just behind the times. If you're not to the second up to date on what's going on with, you know, the new Vinnie Vincent bash or that's the stuff I want to hear. I don't want to hear, you know, yeah, Paul sold another painting worth $3 million. I don't give a shit. Who cares?
Do you guys think it's because Kiss, I mean, obviously they're basically an old dinosaur rock band that was super successful, you know, decades before the internet was even invented. You know what I mean? They're not really the internet generation. You know what I mean? So that's probably why they don't get it like modern bands would, you know?
Yeah, well, I think it's who they have running the site. I'm sure that person is doing the best job possible to run Kiss Online, and they're doing exactly what they're told to do. But if you had an uber nut fan,
yes,
that's interested in every, you know, finger picking Gene video that never happens live type shit, you would get total different content. I just don't know if Paul would allow that, exactly, because that would be a little more unfiltered.
But right. I think, like you said, they still need. I mean, listen, obviously Kiss are control freaks. Gene and Paul are uber control freaks. But at some point, you got to say, and just like they kind of did this with Doc in 96 to take over the reunion tour. They were in over their heads. They said, okay, Doc, you run with this. You tell us what you think we can be doing and what we should be doing. And he did that. And he's really what caused the reunion. Obviously, the reunion was going to be great anyway, but he's the one that caused it to be the biggest sensation in the world at the time, because Kiss were thinking much lower scale at back then. They were thinking conventions. They were thinking little stuff back then. They weren't thinking, and even when they were going to put the makeup back on, I don't think they were thinking Tiger Stadium. You know what I mean? They were thinking, okay, we'll do a cool little tour and hopefully we're going to sell some tickets. Whereas same thing like today, I think they're thinking small. I think they're thinking along the lines of, oh, we'll just, you know, we'll placate the audience and we'll put out some little stuff like this and we'll do that. Whereas they could be bombarding us with stuff, and not only for free. Obviously Kiss wants to make money, and we're glad to give our money to them. They could be putting so much content out rather than releasing Hello Kitty, you know, stupid plush dolls. We want to see concert footage. We want to see behind the scene footage that they have. And for some reason, I really believe it really comes down to them not getting the advice like we're talking about right now. I hope Paul or someone's listening to this. Maybe that son of a bitch Chris Jericho could forward this to Paul Stanley, and he'll listen to it and say, you know what? Those idiots from Podcast Rock City are right. We should be releasing more footage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they put now here, this is also important. I want to make sure I make, because I was sitting here and I was thinking about it. The Kiss Facebook page, when they're on tour, Keith is always putting video footage out there. He's everywhere we would love to be. He's behind the scenes when they're walking to the stage. He's in the middle of the arena when they are about to set up the stage, you know, or he's standing right in the front row filming Gene as he's breathing fire. I think that he probably, I mean, and we, none of us really know, of course, but the Facebook page, maybe that's just easier to do.
Yeah, but there's no revenue. They're thinking, they're not thinking long-term revenue. They're not thinking, you know, mass public reproducing footage. They're thinking just social media aspect-wise, which is, of course, amazing to promote the tour, and it'll get butts in the seats. And you're almost making the point that I'm trying to make. They're thinking short-sighted, where they're thinking, let's sell tickets for this tour. Keith is online. Social media promotes short-term. Whereas when you release concrete footage and concrete stuff that people can keep referring back to and keep paying for, it's constant revenue that'll come in long after a tour is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sonny, what are you thinking?
Yeah, and love Keith. I think Keith's a great guy, and he's doing exactly what, you know, people want him to do on social media. But reality is, I don't want to see backstage in 2020, you know, April 16th in Chattanooga, blah, blah, blah. I want to see Backstage 83 real.
Yeah.
No right? Shit. Where they're going, holy shit, what are we doing?
Right. And Vinny's like, I'm not going out there. You know, that right. kind of like, I want to see that. But I'm a crazy Kiss fan.
Right.
Right. I think, you know, Joey was talking about, you know, we could pummel, if we were Kiss, we could pummel the audience and the fans with blah, 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 and make all this money. And I agree with all that. But I also think Gene might be in the room saying, wait a second, guys, one thing at a time. You will make more money stretching it out than you will throwing everything at it and making people pick what they're going to spend money on. Let's finish the tour, then we'll do X, then we'll do Y, then we'll do Z. And your kids' kids will eat via the Kiss dollar because we let it last forever.
There you go. I do feel like it's an end game thing because they know that people will buy it. I mean, all those videos in the 80s went platinum. You know what I mean? Exposed, all of them. Up until that, maybe that Kiss My Ass one didn't, I don't think. But all the other ones were wildly successful. So they know they could make money doing it. I think it's the end game once they're finally done. Because look at like someone like Hendrix. There's still new Hendrix records coming out. It's insane. So, you know, yeah. I think they've been sitting on it, just like Sonny said, man. And hopefully, you know, that'll be the end game because that's what we all have been talking about for years. That's what we want the most. The most visual band in the world, like you said, Joey. We need more footage, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I think, obviously, if you're talking about a band that's been around for 3 years, I think you guys are right. Compile it, end game. When we're done, our kids will eat. We'll eat forever. But Kiss, you're talking about 40-some-odd years, almost 50 years of footage you're talking about. And even if they don't have, like, that early Bill of Coin footage like you guys are talking about, you're talking about... I'm looking at my Kiss Vision. I must have 35 Kiss Vision DVDs.
Yeah.
Each one of those, and it only goes up to maybe, I think it goes up to 83. So before 83, I have 35 DVDs. They could be releasing any of that footage. And like I said, even if they don't own that stuff, the Kiss cruise, the tour, you know, even the tour that I did with them, the Rock the Nation tour, they released that DVD. And it was amazing. They filmed every night, and they edited on the spot. And I would watch them edit it right on the spot every night. They've done that every tour, and I know this for a fact because it's the same video crew. Every tour since the reunion tour, they've done that. So if they've done that every tour since the reunion tour, why haven't they released one per tour at least? It's not because if they release I don't even remember what half of the tour is, the Freedom to Rock tour in right. 5 years. Nobody gives a shit about that tour 5 years from now. They should have released it at the end of that tour, and people would have been like, oh, shit, I want to see what that tour was all about.
Yeah.
So I think you're giving them more credit than they deserve. I think they're not compiling, like stockpiling all this footage just to, you know, have an end game. I think they're missing the boat.
Yeah, and I think timing... Joey, you're right about the timing too, because if you wait too long and you miss my kids' generation, let's say like they're 25 to 30, 35, you're going to miss a whole generation of fans. I think the Beatles made this mistake. Everybody loved them in the 60s. It rolled into the 70s. They didn't do much in the 80s, and I'm not the hugest Beatles fan, right? So they like missed a generation to market to. So they do got to time it. That's for sure.
Yeah. But do you think that the fact that, you know, you go to a show and later that night it's on YouTube, do you think that has anything to do with it? I mean, everything is on YouTube, even those old Kiss Visions, you know, all those shows, they're all there. So maybe that
has
something to do with it.
I mean, we had a listener, shout out to Big G. I don't want to say his name because I'm afraid he might get... I don't want to get in trouble, but he gave us each like what are those things called that he gave? It was just like a
terabyte. It was a terabyte.
A terabyte full of bootlegs. Of bootleg Kiss audio.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, Cicada, you ain't got that. Cicada, you ain't got that.
You called
Quesadilla,
him
you don't got that.
Quesadilla.
Listen, I still haven't received my check for this episode yet. So if you want to pay me in a terabyte of Kiss footage, I'll take it.
We'll take it's Kiss audio.
It's all audio,
but it's like everything.
I'll take anything.
It's everything.
So much. But yeah, so yeah, this whole thing is starting to get to me. I mean, when I'm sitting at home and I'm looking at my videos and I'm going, I've seen that 10 times. Oh, I've seen that 6 times. Oh, you know, I enjoy watching the Kiss stuff, especially I enjoy the concerts, but I really enjoy the behind the scenes footage because you get to see, you don't get to see the star child. You get to see Paul.
Yeah.
You know, Paul sitting in a limo with Gene driving down the road, being interviewed in the car, you know, and every once in a while somebody drives by and notices them and they're waving out the windows and they're answering the questions. That's cool stuff. Or there was, I have, and I'm sure you guys have seen it, the video footage of Paul doing an in-store signing and the girls are just crying and Paul's like, look at the camera, like he's making faces like he doesn't get it. You know, that's amazing to me. You know, that's amazing to me, that kind of stuff, because I wasn't able to see all that stuff when I was a kid. I had 3 fucking channels. You know,
right.
And then, but I mean, every one of us have seen that guy's interview. Where was he? Detroit, where he's like talking to Peter about Beth. And he's like, you know, talking about what an amazing song it was. And Peter's like, I got 1 million of them.
Yeah.
Which we know he doesn't. But you see what I'm saying? It's like, I would love to see. There has to be more. That's all I'm saying.
And I mean, even just I'm sorry, even just the studio recordings, like obviously if they don't have the stuff from the 80s or the 70s, I get it. And even though they should have some of that stuff too, but you're going to tell me they didn't, if they didn't, then they're fools. If they didn't video record Sonic Boom and Monster in the studio behind the scene footage, then they're absolute morons, because they could have made so much money off of that footage. That, and why isn't it released? You know, the question is, like Sonny said before, are they missing the boat as far as, do we want to see a Sonic Boom recording session 5 years, 10 years from now? I'm not sure if this generation does.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool. I'd watch it, but I got this great idea that they should be doing right now. I just thought of it. Let me bounce this off you guys. So what if they just went live on their Facebook or wherever they want to stream? Gene and Paul get together and they just do commentary on videos. They sit down and they watch Phantom and they give us a full commentary. And it would be so easy for them. And they could even do it remotely like we're doing right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dude,
and people would eat that shit up.
Yes. Oh, my God. Amazing idea. Right. Again, like I said, missing the boat. Go back and just put commentary on every DVD release you've ever done, and we'd all buy it again.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the fact that, well, here's a problem, okay? Obviously, Kiss doesn't own the Phantom footage, right?
You could watch it and you could do a commentary track, right? Even if we can't hear the audio.
Well, see, this is where we go to Joey, because now Joey's in this business. So could you right now, Joey, take you were on a TV show. You were on a TV show for, what was it, 2 years?
Yep.
On IFC. Could you take that footage now, do a commentary, and then put it out?
I couldn't release it and profit off of it, no, like you said. No,
but you could stream it free on your Facebook or whatever, right?
I could totally, again, you can go to my Facebook right now, and you'll see me streaming live, not live, but streaming Z-Rock episodes on my Facebook page. I don't own Z-Rock. Obviously, IFC and Stars and the producers own the show, but I can stream it for free because I'm not profiting off of it. So Kiss could totally be doing that. And again, I think we're giving them more credit. I think they do own some of that footage. They don't own Phantom and stuff like that, but I think Kiss does own some of that stuff. They sure to own Second Coming and stuff like that. Like in the later years, they were smart enough to own that footage. So, God, go back and do some commentary. Get anyone to do some commentary on that. And we, as Kiss fans, we're dying in this era of all media and, you know, streaming. We're dying. We're starving for content.
I mean, if you think about, they could have a Roku channel. Kiss Roku yes. channel. And it's like, and on Halloween, I mean, if you like, seriously, if we really get in depth here, listen, you guys out there, if you have ideas, podcast Rock City One, Joey, that, this is you.
Oh, that's okay. The number one. That's
yes,
the number
thank
one.
You.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's terrible.
No, he sprang it on me too quick. What the hell do you want?
Okay, I'll do that again.
That cue.
I'll do it again.
That was the perfect cue. That was the perfect cue, Quesada. You can't even get it right. Weren't you on TV?
Did you say Quesada or Quesadilla?
Okay, podcastrockcity1@gmail.com, and that's the number one. Send us your ideas, and we'll read them on the next episode. So if you think about it, on Halloween, they should be streaming on Kiss Online the damn Kiss Meets the Phantom. It should come on at 9 o'clock. Look, most parents – our age, okay, Joey, he's got younger kids. My son's four. How old are your kids, Joey?
My kids are 5 and 10.
5 and 10. Okay, so they still do the trick-or-treating.
Of course.
Okay, my son's 14. He just goes and raids the bucket of candy that I have to give out. So most of us are home by 10, right? So from 10 to midnight, 10 to 11:30, they can show Kiss Meets the Phantom on a Roku channel, a Kiss Roku channel. I'm gonna copyright that now.
And you could put the Paul Lynde Halloween special on. I mean, just again, there's so much stuff.
Yeah, Mad
that
TV
they could be doing. Right.
Yeah.
Again, I really believe, and I know it's crazy to say, but you know, we think of these guys as bigger than life and you know gods and stuff like that. I just think they're either getting the wrong advice or they're not getting enough of the advice to capitalize on the media and the world today. I think, you know, and you guys are probably laughing. It's crazy to say. I'm sure they do listen to podcasts like this. And I'm sure even if they don't, maybe Keith does or you know, Paul's tech friend does or someone does in the Kiss camp. And they're like, hey, you know, these schmucks from Podcast Rock City, you know, Joe and Joe Quesadilla and all these guys are talking about releasing footage. I think they're right. Why don't we do it?
Yeah. Sometimes it seems like they do because we've had ideas that totally came to fruition after we had talked about them here and there. You know, not everything, but a few different things have happened like that. Makes you think maybe they are listening.
I always like to tell the story about my buddy Doug, where my buddy Doug sent Gene a message and said, hey, the Grateful Dead are recording their concerts and you can buy it as you walk out the door. I think you should do that. And right. Gene wrote back one word, no. And on the next tour, like 3 months later, they were doing
it. I have every one of those. That was the tour I did with them, Rock the Nation. They did Instant Live. I have every one of those. They're so great. And again, even something stupid like that, why not keep doing that?
Hey, yeah. Joey, being in the business, like the rock and roll show with Sammy Hagar on Access TV, like what kind of rating is that show getting? And if Kiss hooked up with Access and said, look, we've got 20 concerts we want you to run and want you to run them in 20 different episodes, because they get a similar rating?
I would think they would get even a bigger rating because, again, like you guys know, the Kiss fan base is rabid. So, you know, we're not millions strong maybe anymore that are buying content, but we're, you know, the media today is not million strong like it was in the 80s. When you're doing hundreds of thousands or even high tens of thousands, it's still worth it for these companies to stream your stuff because they need content. And what does Kiss have more than anything, any other band ever, is content. If you ever go to any of these streaming channels, and I'm in meetings all day trying to sell shows and trying to do all this stuff. What people need and these companies need is content. That's what they want. They want a lot of content for cheap. And, you know, that's why there's so many reality shows on TV right now, because it's quick, cheap content that they can just keep pumping out. When you see episodes like Hoarders and, you know, Parking Wars and all these shows on TV, it's cheap to make and they can just keep pumping out content. So something like Kiss would kill that stuff in the ratings. But and they already have the content, so it's just a matter of negotiating either with Kiss to get the content or some kind of revenue off the content. So I think they would do great ratings.
Yeah.
Well, seems there like you it go. Would. There you go. I mean,
Gene's show did well. The Family Jewels did well, even if a lot of us Kiss fans didn't like it that much. It still was successful.
How many people walked up to you and said, oh, you're a Kiss fan? I love that Family Jewels show.
Yeah, totally.
It happened all the time. Family members of mine would, you know, send me a message. Hey, did you watch Family Jewels? I'm like, fuck no. But, you know, it's like, I don't want to see the demon stranded on the side of the highway and Carrot Top's got to come and pick his ass up. It does nothing for me. I don't want to. I think of the demon as smart, not clumsy. Anyway.
I think in a weird way, like a thing like Family Jewels, because that was on A&E. That's a big network. Gene probably got millions of dollars to do that show. So he didn't even care what the content was. He was like, okay, you're going to give me how much an episode? You got it. Come and film me. He almost didn't give a shit. Whereas I think stuff like that is almost what Kiss waits for. Like, they wait for HBO to call them and say, hey, we want your content. We'll license it out for you for $5 million for the next 10 years. Where Kiss is not that band anymore. They're not going to get those types of deals. They should be proactive and be doing it on their own, like their own streaming network or selling their own product, where I think they sit back sometimes and they think they're bigger than they are and wait for these big licensing deals to come in.
Yeah, possibly. You know, like Metallica has that Met Club. They've been doing it for years where they have all the content. You pay them a small fee, just like we're talking about Kiss should do. It's like they, I don't know. They always follow other bands, but they never follow the good ideas. You know, like, it's a great idea for Metallica. Metallica kind of knows what's up. You know what I mean? Even with the release of those box sets for each album, I would love for Kiss to do some of the things that they do, you know? But, yeah. I don't know. They just have always been a little bit off from, like, what you would think would be the best idea, you know? Especially ever since Bill was out of the picture.
Yeah, they're never ahead of the curve or even on the curve. They're always slightly behind the curve.
Yeah. They're reactionary.
It's kind of like Joe, a little bit.
Ha-ha! I literally felt that right in the balls. And you're not even close. My everything clinched up, and I was like, there he goes. But it's true. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, so look, and keep in mind when we're listening, this is all opinion. This is what we're giving our opinion, what we think. That's the beauty of a podcast like ours. For all we know, they're sitting at home listening to this going, those dumbasses don't know that we're doing all of that shit right now. We're just kidding. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but I think that what you're really hearing right now is fans that are, I don't want to use the word fed up. It's like hungry. You guys agree with that word?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're starving. We want more stuff. We don't want less. We want more. Yeah. We don't want Hello Kitty and, you know, dolls. Yeah. We want footage.
If you're not going to put a record out, which you've already said 50 times you're not, and that's fine, okay. You know, something, anything, you know, that we can buy every 6 months or so, or even it just depends on what you want. It doesn't have to be a new record. It could just be
that we all have like multiple copies of, you know?
Yes. And now I have to get last week Sonny bought the, what was it? Dress to Kill right on the air.
Yeah, on the orange, red, whatever vinyl.
Did you do the flask and all that shit with it? I can't remember.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
When does it ship?
April something, but you know, that depends on if the world's still around at that point.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That's a good point. Again, I'm looking, you know, not to keep rehashing, I'm looking at some of my Kiss Vision stuff just to give you a quick, let's say over the next year and a half, Kiss released this stuff. My first one on here is Long Beach 74. Then I have a media collection from 74 through 76. I have live the Winterland full concert 75, Cobo Hall 76.
Yeah,
I have, you know, Madison Square Garden 77. That's my dog barking in the background. I have black and white footage of 76, Houston 76, Cobo Hall 77, Houston 77, you know, Kiss Meets the Phantom, Largo, 79 media footage. Then I have, you know, the Sydney concert. It goes on and on and on. Think about that stuff being cleaned up, digitized, HD, and released with, like you said, even some commentary on it. Any of that footage, we'd go crazy over.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could watch the concert with, you know, Paul or Gene, band members just talking about what it was like that tour, what that tour was like. It was excruciating. It was this, it was that. When they released that that Rock the Nation video, it was brilliant because it not only was it set up where you could
Watch the
video, you could choose a camera, and I could watch Gene for an entire concert if I wanted to, which is pretty amazing.
And which I'm telling you, they have that every tour since 96. They have that footage and that capability because it's been almost the same production company, because I literally hung out with them every day talking. But they did a whole ZO2 footage at the same way they did Kisses for us. They did it for us for free just as a favor. And they've been doing that since 96. So they have all that footage every tour since then.
Damn.
Crazy.
The Alive 35, right? That tour, I flew all the way to Detroit to see it done in Cobo Hall, and you can't find anything other than people's footage of that where they filmed it on their own.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. So the question is, are they missing the boat? You know, the Alive 35 tour was, you know, how many years ago already? It's over 10 years ago. So are they missing the boat on that? And they, if they release it now, does anyone care? That's why I don't think it's, they're sitting on the footage and, you know, they're stockpiling for their kids. And I think they're just missing the boat. I think they're not getting the right information from people. And I think they should be releasing stuff in real time.
Yeah,
that would be nice.
All right. So we've beat this one down now. We've done what we were we came to do. We talked about it. You guys got to give us your idea. Podcast RockCity1, that's the number one, @gmail.com. Make sure you send us your emails. We'll read them right here, especially if you have ideas. I think there would be, I think you guys out there have good ideas. I think, if you think about it, one of the things that always bothered me was how they do things such short term. Tongue Magazine was like 4 issues. They owned the football team for just like 2 years or 3 years or whatever. It came and it went. The Coffee House, I know they weren't, they didn't know that, I don't think. It came and it went. They had a magazine for the Psycho Circus magazine that came out. It was only, I don't know how many issues, but it wasn't, a lot. So they tend to not do things long term. It's let us know what you think. Podcast RockCity1, that's the number one, @gmail.com. You have anything left to add there, Joey?
Yeah, I think what you just said is the perfect wrap up. I think the problem is because, and again, coming from the industry side of all this, I'm obviously a huge fan. I'm a groupie. I'm a fanatic, but I'm also, I have a little insight from the inside business of what's going on. And the reason why all that stuff is short term is because what Kiss does is they do short term licensing deals, and stuff like the Tongue Magazine, stuff like the Coffee House, even the football team, what they do is they license their brand out to these companies with no repercussions. They get whatever the licensing fee is, whether it's $1 million, $5 million, $100,000, whatever the licensing fee is for that particular item, they license their brand out, and then they have other people run it. And if it fails, it fails. It doesn't matter to Kiss because they made their money on the licensing. So they have no personal investment in the product. Whereas what we were discussing this whole episode, as far as whether it's a Kiss streaming service or their own footage being released throughout the years, they would have they're not getting upfront money. It's all risk. It's, you know, they're going to put money into it to produce these shows and to clean them up and to, you know, mass produce them or start the streaming service. It's all money out of their pocket rather than into their pocket. And I don't think that's the stuff they want to do. They don't want to shell out money. They don't want to shell out $5 million to potentially make $50 million. They'd rather make $3 million and have no repercussion. And unfortunate for the fans, that's why some of these products only last a year or 6 months.
Well, it definitely seems that way for sure. The and obviously, it's good to have you on where you do this all the time. This is constantly what you do. And I hope that there are a lot of plans. It's almost like sometimes you would hear, this is what's in the works, but we can't talk about it yet. It's like, why? I don't understand.
And that's also, they say bullshit.
Well, we'll wait and see. Let's see. Okay, so Joey, thank you very much for being on with us this week. It was definitely memorable.
Joey who? What's my Joey who?
Are you kidding me? I'm not going to fuck it up 2 weeks in a row. Mr. Quesada.
Woo!
I'm not fucking that up 2 weeks in a row. Although I probably will next week when you're not on. But I'll be watching WrestleMania next week while we're doing the show. So
perfect.
Anyway, Jody, you got anything to add?
No, just had, you know, it was cool to have you back on, Joey. Looking forward to the next time. And everyone who listened, thanks so much. Stay safe. Keep, you know, do what you can to stay healthy, man. And we'll make it through this.
Sonny.
It's great to have Joey on and have somebody who's inside the business, you know, kind of looking inside the quesadilla instead of just eating the quesadilla. You feel me?
You son of a bitch.
I promise you guys, this will not be the last of the quesadilla jokes. I can feel that more are coming as long as, and I can feel me getting hit in the dick from New York or New Jersey or wherever the fuck that accent comes from.
I just want you to know I'm not happy.
You know what I'm going to say. We love podcasts and we love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones we love right after this in 3, 2, 1, peace.
You got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
Yeah.